Good morning, everyone. We're going to make a wee start to our service this morning by singing together the hymn number 114. 114 is the hymn number. You'll find it in the page 222 of your hymn book. Christ the Lord is risen today. Hallelujah. Sons of men and angels, say hallelujah. Raise your joys and triumph. Sing hallelujah. Sing ye heavens, thou earth reply. Hallelujah. Wonderful hymn reminding us of the great fact that Christ has risen and that the tomb is empty and that Christ has ascended on high. Let us really sing it out with all of our heart, with praise and thanksgiving in our hearts for all that the Lord has done for us and means to us. 114 and the page 222 will stand as we sing. Stand as we sing.
Thank you.
just unite our hearts together, please, in prayer. Let us look afresh to the Lord today in prayer, just asking and seeking the Lord for His help and blessing in our seasons of worship today. Our gracious God, our eternal, loving Father in heaven, we come into Thy presence, O God, and into Thy courts today, through no merit of man or of man's device or creed. But, O God, we approach Thee today upon redemption ground, upon the ground of victory, the ground of peace, the ground of pardon that was purchased and provided for us as the people of God by the death and by the rising again of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. And, O God, we thank Thee, Heavenly Father, that in the fullness, O God, of Thy time, in accordance with Thy plan and purpose, that Christ came to this world. He was born to die upon the cross. And Father, we thank Thee that Thy word tells us that the Son of Man came to seek and to save that which was lost. And Father, we thank Thee that He went to the cross of Calvary willingly and lovingly and graciously as our sin bearer. We thank Thee that He bore upon Himself the wrath of God, the judgment of God as our substitute, that we deserved rightly and justly for our sins. And Father, we thank that Christ paid the price in full when He cried out on the cross, "It is finished." And Lord, though He suffered and bled and died and was buried in the tomb, we thank Thee, O God, that on the third day He rose again victorious, and that Christ today is alive forevermore, never to die again. And Father, we thank Thee that we can say with confidence today, upon the finished work of Christ, because of the fact that He has died and risen again, that because He lives, as the people of God, we who have trusted Him as Savior, shall also live also. We thank Thee, Heavenly Father, today that Christ could say, "I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in Me, though he were dead, yet shall he live." And Father, we thank Thee that this is our victory today in Christ, through our union with Christ. We thank Thee, Lord, as Thy people, that death has been conquered for us, the grave has been robbed of its power. And Father, we thank Thee that as Thy people, we have been raised up in Christ to sit in heavenly places in Christ and through Christ our Redeemer. And, O God, we thank Thee that this is our prize, this is our hope, a hope that is secure by the blood of the Lamb, because Jesus has died and has risen again and is exalted, O God, at Thy right hand. O God, come today and bless our coming together, we pray. O Father, we ask that Thou wilt outpour Thy Spirit upon us, that we might know a gracious, conscious sense of Thy presence amongst us. Father in heaven, we do confess our sins before Thee, even, Lord, as Thy people. The Lord, we sinned against Thee in thought and in word and in deed. And we pray for that fresh cleansing in our Savior's blood. Create within us a clean heart. Lord, renew within us a right spirit. And help us today, O God, to worship Thee in spirit and in truth. And grant, O God, that the thoughts of our hearts and the words of our lips, O God, would be acceptable in Thy sight, O God, our strength and our Redeemer. Father, we thank Thee for all the temporal mercies and blessings of life that Thou dost give to us, that we can meet here in freedom and in liberty, with health and with strength, and soundness of body and of mind, to worship Thee, to praise Thee, and to gather around Thy Word. And Lord, bless our coming together today. We pray for a gracious sense, Lord, of Thy presence. Outpour Thy Spirit upon us. Do every heart good, we pray, from the very youngest to the oldest, minister, Lord, to the needs of our hearts. Thou dost know our need better than we know it ourselves. Yet, O God, we thank Thee that all the fullness of the blessing of God is there for us, in and through the Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior and our Mediator. Bless every saint of Thine, encourage Thy people. Do strengthen us in our faith today, O God. Build us up in the ways of God. Help us, Lord, to die more and more to self, to sin, to the ways of this ungodly world. Help us to be more in tune with Thee, Lord. Draw us into a closer walk and fellowship, Lord, with Thee. And day by day, may we know what it is to be guided
directed and to be led, O God, by Thee, in the centre of Thy will, and in the hollow of Thy hand, we pray. For any, Lord, going through times of testing or trial today, Lord, may they know that special touch from God, that strength that is from Thee. For any, Lord, maybe walking afar off from God, the Lord, restore such unto Thyself, O God, today. And Father, for any with us today, not save, be the young or be the old, Lord, do speak to them. May they realize their need of Christ, their need of salvation, their need to have the blood of Christ applied by faith to their hearts. And Father, we pray, O God, today, that they might come by Thy Spirit, by Thy power, by Thy grace, and put their trust in the Lord Jesus, and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ for salvation. We thank Thee today that there's life for a look at the crucified one. Remember any that cannot be with us today because of age or sickness or infirmity. We pray that Thou wilt bless them. Others who mourn and grieve at this time, comfort their hearts, we pray. For others from our fellowship who may be away on holiday at this time, may they know a season of refreshing from the presence of the Lord. Remember, Lord, those that may be listening in online, whoever they are today, wherever they might be, Lord, grant Your blessing to be upon them, to be their portion. And Father, we pray that Thou wilt meet them at the point of their need. Bless every family, household connected with our congregation. Unite every family circle in the Lord. And Lord, Lord, there is needs regarding health or sickness, we pray. Draw very near especially and give help and grace and strength according to each day's need, we pray. Remember every outreach from this church, our Sunday school work, our children's work, the youth work, now the door-to-door ministry, the telephone ministry, the online ministry, we pray, and all their works connected with our church and congregation. May each one know the help and the blessing of God and be used, O God, by Thee to bring glory and honor unto Thy name, to advance Thy cause and strengthen the testimony of Thy people in this part of Thy vineyard. Remember, O God, in mercy, our land today, our nation. And do bless all our sister congregations. Bless each minister, each student, each layman who will preach Thy word. And Lord, wherever Thy word will be faithfully preached today, north and south of the border in this land, grant Thy blessing to be upon it, that there will not only be a hearing with the ear, but a hearing with the heart, and that souls will be saved, that Thy people will be blessed and revived, and that Thy kingdom shall be extended. Remember, Lord, those that rule in our land and in our nation, do have mercy upon them, enlighten their minds in their knowledge of Christ and the knowledge of Thy word. And may they have that desire, Lord, to rule in accordance with Thy word, in accordance with Thy truth. And Lord, those who would seek to promote that which is evil and contrary to Thy word, blow upon their plans and their schemes. And Lord, bring their plans and schemes to nothing. O God, we pray. Remember our Queen and our royal family. Have mercy, Lord, upon them. Grant Your blessing to be their portion, and that the light of Thy truth and the light of the gospel will shine into that household, we pray. Bless our missionaries today across the land, across the world, across the globe. Bless every faithful servant of God. Bless and use Thy people. Protect Thy people. And Lord, use them for Thine honor and glory as they gather together today at this Easter season, we pray. Remember especially, Lord, the church there in Ukraine. Protect Thy people. Bless Thy people there. Meet their needs. Encourage them. And grant them peace and protection. And be pleased to drive Putin and his army, Lord, out of that land. Intervene in mercy, Lord, and grant that peace and stability might return to that nation once again, we pray. Remember, O God, the Easter Convention meetings. Lord, we thank Thee for the meeting on Friday night past, and remember the final meeting even tomorrow night. Grant Your blessing and help there, and may it be a time of rich blessing upon all who will gather around the Word of God in that service. Abide with us now, we pray. Do our hearts much good. Help us in the singing of Thy praises, in the reading of Thy Word, in every detail of this meeting today. Exalt and magnify the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, in whose name we do pray and do ask all these things. Amen.
We're turning again, please, in our hymn book to hymn number 123. 123 on the page 227 of your hymn book. It's a well-known hymn, the great hymn reminding us of Christ our Saviour. I serve a risen Saviour. He's in the world today. I know that He is living, whatever men may say. I see His hand of mercy. I hear His voice of cheer. And just the time I need Him, He's always near. And that's the great privilege, the great blessing of the Christian life, that the Lord is near His people. He's not afar off, but He's one who's there to help, to lead, to guide, and to succor. 123. We'll stand again as we sing, and singing it out with all of our hearts. have your Bible with you today, I would ask you to turn to the New Testament book of 2 Timothy and to the chapter number 2. We're turning this morning to 2 Timothy, chapter number 2. You'll find 2 Timothy near the latter part of the New Testament. We're turning to 2 Timothy chapter 2 in the verse 1, reading from verse 1 of the chapter down to the end of the verse 13. Let us hear God's word as we read it together this morning. 2 Timothy chapter 2 and the verse number 1. Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. The things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. And if a man also strive for masteries, yet is he not crowned, except he strive lawfully. The husbandman that laboureth must be first partaker of the fruits. Consider what I say, and the Lord give thee understanding in all things. Remember that Jesus Christ of the seed of David was raised from the dead, according to my gospel. Wherein I suffer trouble as an evildoer, even unto bonds, but the word of God is not bound. Therefore I endure all things for the elect's sake, that they may also obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. It is a faithful saying, for if we be dead with him, we shall also live with him. If we suffer, we shall also reign with him. If we deny him, he also will deny us. And if we believe not, yet he abideth faithful. He cannot deny himself. Amen. We'll end our reading there at verse 13. And our prayer is that God will bless this public reading of his eternal and infallible word to all our hearts. At this stage of our service this Lord's Day morning, this Easter Lord's Day, we welcome you all in the Lord's great name. It's good to see so many gathered with us today. It's good to see friends and family gathered with us, young and old alike. We welcome you all in the Lord's name. And if you're visiting with us, we extend you a very special welcome. It's always a joy to visitors to share and our fellowship together. And if you're a believer today, may you be strengthened in your faith and your walk with God. If you're here today and you're not saved, our burden, our prayer is that even today you will come as a sinner to Christ and put your faith and trust in him alone for salvation. We give a welcome also to those who may be viewing online today, wherever you are, wherever you might be found. We pray the Lord will draw near to your heart and minister by his word and spirit, as the Lord alone would see your individual need. Now, the announcements for the week are as follows. Do remember, please, the evening prayer meeting tonight in the prayer room at the rear, 6:30. We encourage as many as possible of God's people to gather for the season of prayer at 6:30. The evening gospel service at 7. I belong to bring God's word. Pray for that meeting. Plan to join with us and to invite and to encourage others in under the sound of God's word. Tomorrow night, that's Easter Monday, is the final of the Easter Convention meetings in the Martyrs Memorial Free Presbyterian Church at 7 p.m. The preacher is the moderator, the Reverend John Armstrong. There'll be others taking part and ministering song and various missionary reports as well. So remember that meeting. We're up on Friday night and the meeting was a tremendous meeting. The church was well filled. There was a great sense of the Lord's presence. And if you're able to go tomorrow night, do go along. Pray for that meeting and encourage. You'll be encouraged there as you gather with God's people around God's word. Tuesday night here in the church, 8 p.m. the midweek prayer meeting and Bible study. And our brother Mr. Richard Edwards will be in charge of the prayer meeting on Tuesday night. So remember, brother, pray for him and do come along and encourage him around God's word on Tuesday evening. The youth fellowship, the children's meetings are all off this week due to the holiday season. This coming Saturday, that's the 23rd of April, is the Consider Christ Outreach to County Cavan. Pray for that. And again, anyone wishing to go, let me know. And we'll let you know the arrangements regarding that. Next Lord's Day, the 24th of April, is our special missionary focus Sunday. We had that last year. and was very encouraging and well supported. And we're looking to the Lord for His blessing next Lord's Day on that special missionary focus Sunday. Sunday school will recommence again, 11 a.m. in Bible class. The morning worship service will be 12 noon. The guest speaker, the Reverend David Park from Ballymoney, and also chairman of the Missionary Council. He'll be bringing various mission reports and leaving a missionary challenge in the ministry of God's Word. And then at 7 p.m, our brother Mr. Chris Killen will be with us, giving a report on his work. As you know, he works with those involved in drug addiction and other addictions. And he'll also be ministering God's Word. And then there'll be an offering for our brother's work. And all the loose offering on the Lord's Day evening will go to that work. And again, if you want to use the gift aid scheme towards that, and then just put your gift in an envelope, put on your number, and that will go and mark on it Chris Killen offering, and that will go towards his ministry as well. Both services will be preceded by the half hour of prayer, so do remember that. Tuesday night, the 3rd of May at 8 p.m, there's a special meeting here in the church. It's open to all, but particularly for all communicant members. The purpose of that meeting is for communicant members to vote and to adopt the church constitution, and also for elders to be added to the property holding, matter of property holding trustees regarding our church. And this is all really to comply with Charity Commission regulations. There is a list of communicant members there in the hall, and anyone wishing a postal vote, contact our clerk of session, Mr. Ian Moore, as soon as possible. Can I just say regarding that, there's a slight change. There's a new draft of that constitution document. It's on yellow paper. This has really come through from Presbyterian. It's nothing to do with our session, but there was a typing error in the one before that. So you can discard that, shred it, burn it, whatever, but this is the one that you'll be voting on that night, the one with the yellow paper. So apologies about that. It's really, we don't want to cause any confusion over that matter, but do please note that and take the yellow copy with you this morning. Friday night, the 22nd of April at 8 p.m, in Aroma Church, there's a missionary meeting for Uganda. The speaker there is the Reverend David McMillan. And then on Saturday night in Over Church at 8 p.m, there's a youth rally. And the speaker there is the Reverend Ryan McKee. Saturday the 30th of April in Portadown Church, there's a day of prayer for Christian education. Prayer times are 10:15 a.m. and 2 p.m. So do remember that, please. Can I just say, from Monday through to Friday, we'll be off on holidays. And during that time, our brother, the Reverend Raymond Robinson, will be in charge of any emergency visitation. That's really all by way of necessary announcements. Returning again, please, in our hymn book to the hymn number 134. 134 on the page 230. Before the throne of God above, I have a strong, a perfect plea, a great high priest whose name is love, whoever lives and pleads for me. The hymn number 134 in the page 230. We'll keep our seats. Can I say, we don't take up an offering during the service, but the offering plate's at the rear, so do remember that as you leave. But we'll sing, remain seated while we sing the opening part of this great hymn, 134.
Thank you.
again to that passage of Scripture we read earlier, please, to 2 Timothy chapter number 2. 2 Timothy chapter 2. God's Word be open before us. Let us bow briefly in a word of prayer. Our Father and our God, bless us now as we turn to Thy Word. Open the sacred page to our hearts and to our minds. Write the truths of Thy Word upon our hearts, upon our souls. Give us grace today, not only to hear Thy Word, but Lord, to live out Thy Word in our lives as Thou would see our need. Bless Thy Word to the saving of the lost, to the strengthening and the building up of the saints of God. And in everything, glorify the Saviour. Undertake now, we pray, pour out Thy Spirit upon preacher and upon congregation alike. And have Thy way in every heart and life. We ask it all for Jesus' sake. Amen. Amen. Our text for today is verse number 8 of 2 Timothy chapter number 2. Let me read that verse with you again. It says, "Remember that Jesus Christ of the seed of David was raised from the dead according to my gospel." Now today on this Easter Sunday morning, yes, our minds are especially thinking upon the death and also the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ the third day from the tomb. And we can also say that these vital matters were also on the mind of the Apostle Paul as he writes the words of this verse before us today. For he says, "Remember that Jesus Christ of the seed of David was raised from the dead according to my gospel." At this point in his life, Paul was now an old man. He'd been saved for many years. He was in a prison for the gospel, and you see that from what he says in the very next verse. He says, "Wherein I suffer trouble as an evildoer, even unto bounds, but the word of God is not bound." He also himself had been forsaken by others. He was alone, and you see that from what he says in verse 16 of chapter 4 of the book, when he says about his own trial for the faith at my first answer, "No man stood with me, but all men forsook me." And we also see from what he says in chapter 4 that he knew his time on earth was coming to an end. For he says in verse 6 of chapter 4, he says, "The time of my departure is at hand." And it is against this particular background that Paul now writes to Timothy. Who was Timothy? Timothy was a young Christian. He was an elder in the church at Ephesus. We can say, yes, he was a young man who had a particular responsibility in the work of God and in the cause of Christ. And during Timothy's day, Ephesus was a most ungodly place. It was no easy thing to live the Christian life in the city of Ephesus. In that city, yes, there was much opposition against the church of Christ and the witness of God's people. They were being continually opposed by the ungodly. And this was something, no doubt, that weighed heavily upon the heart and upon the mind of young Timothy. Therefore, to encourage him and to inspire his faith, Paul sets before him in particular these words in our text, which are really a command, or if you like, an injunction to Timothy. For he says to Timothy, "Remember that Jesus Christ of the seed of David was raised from the dead according to my gospel." And today, people in our service this morning, it is this same command, the same injunction that was given by Paul to Timothy that I want us to look at and to consider in our service today. Yes, I'm sure every one of you will agree with me in the meeting this morning that we live in very dark and very ungodly days. And we see that increasing more and more in our society. Yes, biblical Christianity and what the Bible says and what the Bible teaches is being attacked and being opposed more and more. And it is becoming increasingly difficult for God's people to live out their faith in society and in public at large. Well, if the believer, the child of God, is to be encouraged to go on,
living for Christ in this evil world, and to go on serving his Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, in this ungodly world, then it is vital that the believer, that the child of God, also heed these same words that Paul gave many years ago to young Timothy, when he said, "Remember that Jesus Christ of the seed of David was raised from the dead according to my gospel." Child of God, in our meeting this morning, can I say, here is a verse. Indeed, here is a command that will greatly inspire and indeed strengthen your faith as a Christian in this dark world in which we live today. As we look then at this great verse, there are three things I want you to notice briefly and simply this morning. Notice first of all here the meaning of this command. Our verse says, "Remember that Jesus Christ of the seed of David was raised from the dead according to my gospel." If you look at those words and consider them, you'll see here that in particular, Timothy is commanded by Paul to remember three specific things regarding his Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. We see, first of all, here that he is to remember the person of Christ. Just look at the words there in verse 8. It just says, "Remember Jesus Christ." In other words, Timothy was to remember that Christ lived here upon this earth, that he was here upon the scene of time as God's incarnate Son, as God manifest in the flesh. Being God incarnate, who then was Christ? What was Christ like? Well, he was sinless. Being the Son of God, he did no sin. He knew no sin. The Bible says he was altogether lovely without spot. Also, being the Son of God, he was all powerful. Remember the words of Christ in his marching orders to the early church before he ascended up into heaven in Matthew 28 in the Great Commission. He said, "All power is given unto me." Being the Son of God, his power is no way limited in any way like the power of man. And then also, being the Son of God, he is all-knowing, all-seeing. The Bible speaks of the Lord Jesus Christ in the Gospel of John, and it says, he knew what was in man. Even the deepest thoughts in the hearts of men and mankind are known to the Lord. And then also, being the Son of God, he is one who is full of sympathy, full of love and full of compassion and grace toward his people. The Bible speaks of the Lord and says his compassions, they fail not. Indeed, the hymn writer focuses upon that very fact when they speak of the Lord and say, "Oh yes, he cares, I know he cares. His heart is touched with my grief." Indeed, the Bible speaks of Christ and tells us he is one who is touched, the Bible says, with the very feeling of our infirmities. And this is because he is the Son of God. He is God manifest in the flesh. And child of God, can I say, this is the one that you and I also are commanded here in this text to remember today. It says, "Remember Jesus Christ." This is the one you and I are to remember today, that he was God incarnate, that he was God manifest in the flesh, the Son of God, that he knew no sin. Unlike us, we are vile and sinful, but Christ had no sin. He is almighty. Yes, we are weak and helpless, poor and needy of ourselves, but the Lord is the great I Am, the Almighty One. Think of his miracles that he performed here on earth, all a testimony to his power. Being the Son of God, he knows everything about us. All the concerns you believer today, whatever it is, maybe things in your heart, in your mind, in your life that no one else knows about, the Lord knows all about them. And he knows your need, he knows your care, and he sympathizes with you, believer, child of God, along life's journey, along the trials and the burdens of life. The Bible says he is able to succor us. Why? Because he sympathizes with us. He knows our needs, our heartaches, our burdens, our cares. And believer, this is the one you and I are to remember this Easter Sunday morning, Jesus Christ, God
manifest in the flesh. Something else here, Timothy was commanded to remember not only the person of Christ, but the teaching of Christ. And Paul makes reference to that at the very end of the verse when he speaks those words, according to my gospel. What is he talking about there when he talks about the gospel? He's referring to God's word, the truth of God, the teaching of the Lord, the teaching of the scriptures. Paul here was giving Timothy a specific command. He was to remember Jesus Christ, his person. But he says, Timothy also, remember the word of God, the gospel of Christ, the teaching of Christ. He who died, who rose again, Timothy, it was all in accordance with the word of God. Timothy, keep the word of God before you in this life. And this was something Paul really emphasized to Timothy. Turn over to 2 Timothy chapter 3, just over the page. And look at what he says to him in verse number 14. And you can see that thought being developed further right to the end of the chapter. He says to Timothy, but continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them, and that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, truly furnished unto all good works. And this was something Timothy was to remember, the word of God. He was to keep it before him. And child of God, can I say to you this morning, in this evil world, and in this world, yes, our minds daily are being bombarded by information that is false, information that is evil, that is harmful, oftentimes opposed to God's word. What are we to do? We are to remember God's word. We are to remember the gospel. We are to remember the teaching of Scripture. And God's word is a word that is true. It is eternal. It is pure. And my, it is relevant to every circumstance and every situation in life that you and I can encounter along life's journey. And people today, it is not what man says that counts, no. It is what God says that matters. John Calvin, the great reformer, said this. He said, there is no faith without God's word. In other words, without the word of God, we make shipwreck in our faith as the people of God. God's word is the foundation of our faith. This was something Paul was emphasizing here to Timothy. And it needs to be emphasized to us also as God's people today. How important it is, believer, you read God's word daily. That you study it for yourself. That you believe God's word, even when we can't understand it. And there's many, many things in the Bible we cannot understand, and we never will understand them this side of eternity. But we are to believe God's word. We are to obey God's word. The psalmist prayed, order my steps and thy word. Let not any iniquity have dominion over me. And he wanted his life to be directed by the word of God. And that's a prayer for us to pray day by day as God's people. Timothy was to remember the person of Christ, the teaching of Christ. But notice something else here. Something else vital in this verse. He was to remember the work of Christ. And there's two aspects in particular of the work of Christ that he was to remember here. The death of Christ and the resurrection of Christ. And you see that from the words that Paul uses to Timothy. He says, remember that Jesus Christ of the seed of David, notice it, was raised from the dead. And those words, was raised from the dead, they focus on the work of Christ, his death and his rising again from the dead. This was something Timothy was to remember. And child of God, this is what you and I also are to remember. We're to remember the death of Christ upon the cross. Something we should never lose sight of. The Bible says, Christ died for our sins, the sins of God's people, according to the Scriptures. And by His death, by the shedding of His blood, what did Christ do? He satisfied the just demands of God's law.
He took upon himself in that sacrifice as our substitute the wrath of God that we deserve for our sins. By that death, he purchased eternal life. Pardon for sin, peace with God, eternal salvation for all, whoever they are, from every tribe and kindred and tongue and nation, who will repent of their sins and put their faith, their trust in Jesus Christ alone as Savior. The Bible says, by His own blood, that's the blood of Christ, He obtained eternal redemption for us. This is something we must never lose sight of. Also, we are to remember the resurrection, the rising of Christ from the dead. The third day, the fact that Christ is alive. He's not on the cross today. He's not in the tomb. He is alive. He is alive forevermore. The Bible says, never to die again. The Bible says that He was buried, that He rose again the third day, according to the Scriptures. And how vital the resurrection is to our faith. Because His rising again from the dead, it proves one thing to you and I, people, that God's Word is true. This was prophesied in the Old Testament that He would rise. And it shows us God's Word is certain, it can be trusted. It also proves that God accepted the sacrifice of Christ as a sufficient payment for our salvation. In other words, the work is done. The work is completed to redeem and save you and I from our sins through what Christ did when He gave up the ghost and cried out, "It is finished." And His rising also proves that there is eternal life, life that will never end, and spiritual power and grace for all who trust the Lord Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. Turn with me in your Bible back to John's Gospel, chapter number 11. And you'll see this for yourself in those famous words of the Lord to Martha, when their brother Lazarus had died. John's Gospel, chapter 11, verse 25 and verse 26. Look at what Christ says to Martha. It says, Jesus said unto her, "I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this?" Believer, in our meeting this morning, can I say this? The fact that Christ has risen and He has gone into heaven, it means, believer, that your place in heaven is secure. Your place in heaven is guaranteed. Believer in Christ, yes, when we die on earth, our soul departs the body of clay and goes immediately into heaven. The Bible says it is absent from the body, present with the Lord. Christ, our forerunner, has entered within the veil as our great high priest. And then when Christ returns, our bodies will rise from the grave, and they will rise incorruptible and immortal and be reunited with our souls in glory in heaven forevermore. The Bible teaches that if we are alive here on earth when Christ comes back again, and He is coming back, then our bodies will be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. Such will be the power of God manifest when He returns. And we will be glorified and gathered with the glorified saints of God in heaven. This is our victory today. This is the great triumph of the Christian life. This is why the grave has been robbed of its prey. This is why the sting of death has been broken, because Christ defeated death and sin by His own death upon the cross and is rising again. Christian, this is your hope. This is what Paul wanted Timothy to never lose sight of, whatever happened to him as a Christian. He says, remember that Jesus Christ of the seed of David was raised again the third day from the dead according to my gospel. Turn with me in your Bible over to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter number 8. And look at what, again, we read here of Christ and the blessings of the Christian life to God's people. It's all linked to Christ, to His death, to His rising again from the dead. Romans 8, verse 32. It says, "He that spared not His own Son, but delivered Him up for us all, How shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. Who is he that condemneth? Notice it. It is Christ that died, yea, rather that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. There we see there's no longer any condemnation for the people of God who have repented of their sins, who have trusted the Lord to be their Savior. Why? Because Christ has died for them. Christ has paid the price of their redemption. And Christ is in heaven praying for them. Notice it, interceding at the Father's right hand. Believer, that's what the Lord is presently doing for you at this very moment in heaven. He's praying for you, pleading for you. And my, he's interceding for you. And my, because of the intercessions of Christ, we have blessings upon blessings upon blessings that are heaped upon us as the people of God. This is what we are to remember this Easter Sunday morning. Yes, we see here the meaning of this command, but notice, secondly here, when we think further of our text, notice the reason for this command. In the context here of 2 Timothy chapter 2, you'll see that this command was given to encourage Timothy in his Christian life, to inspire him in his Christian faith and his service. And you'll see that pressure was been put upon Timothy to conform to this world. In other words, Timothy, pressure was been put upon him not to be identified as a Christian. And you see that from what Paul says in chapter 1 and verse 8 when he says, "Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me his prisoner." Also, Timothy himself as a Christian was going to suffer affliction and hardship for following the Lord. Notice Paul's mention of that in chapter 2, verse 3. He says, "Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ." He was to suffer hardness and trial as a Christian. Therefore, to faithfully fulfill his calling as a believer, Timothy needed courage. He needed to be a man who denied self. He needed patience in the Christian life and in the service for God. And you see that being emphasized in the following verses there in chapter 2, verses 4, 5, and 6. When Paul there likens Timothy unto a Christian soldier, unto a Christian athlete, unto a Christian husbandman or farmer. Notice what he says in verse 4. He says to Timothy, "No man that warreth and tangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier." What does every soldier need? One thing is courage. And that was what Timothy needed at this time. He needed courage for Christ. Hence those words in the description as a soldier. Look at verse 5, the reference is to an athlete. It says, "If a man also strive for masteries, yet is he not crowned, except he strive lawfully." And every athlete needs to be endowed with a spirit of self-denial. They need to deny self in all their training. To the one side as a Christian. And then look at verse 6. It says, "The husbandman that laboreth," that's the farmer that laboreth, "must be first partaker of the fruits." And what does every farmer need? They need patience, they need endurance. And that's what Timothy needed in his Christian life and his service. He needed patience. He needed endurance. Therefore, if Timothy was not to conform to this evil world, if he was to endure hardness as a good soldier of Christ, if his Christian witness was to be marked by courage, by self-denial, by patient endurance, then he must heed these words in our text when Paul says, "Remember that Jesus Christ of the seed of David was raised from the dead according to my gospel." There you see the vital reason for this command. Such words, yes, were given to promote courage, to promote self-denial, to promote stickability, endurance, steadfastness in the life of this young man, Timothy. And child of God, yes, the same applies to you and I also. If we are to faithfully live for Christ in this world, if we are not to conform to this world, if we are to endure hardness and difficulties in God's work, if we are to be bold and courageous for Christ and the gospel, if we are to deny self, if we are to patiently endure in our work and witness for Christ, then we too, just like Timothy many years ago, must heed these words. Hence the reason for our text. Remember that Jesus Christ of the seed of David was raised from the dead according to my gospel. Child of God, see the message now of this text to your heart and to my heart as a believer. The person of Christ, the word of Christ, and indeed the work of Christ is that which will inspire us to live the life of faith and to run a good race for God. This is how it was with C.T. Studd, the missionary to China and Africa. He said, if Jesus Christ be God and died for me, then no sacrifice is too great for me to make for him. What was it that motivated him? The sacrifice of Christ. This is how it was in the life of Isaac Watts, the great hymn writer, for he speak of Christ and says, love so amazing, so divine, demands my soul, my life, my all. What was it that motivated him? The sacrifice of Christ, the work of Christ. Again, it was so with the Apostle Paul, for he could say, the love of Christ constraineth us. What was it that constrained Paul to spend and to be spent for Christ? Oh, it wasn't Paul's love for Christ, no. It was Christ's love for Paul, the very chiefest of sinners. And child of God, oh, may it be so in your life and my life also as a believer. The meaning of this command, the reason for this command. Notice one final thing this morning. Notice the practice of this command. You look again at what our text says. It says, remember that Jesus Christ of the seed of David was raised from the dead according to my gospel. Upon considering those words, we must ask the question. The question is this. How then are we to remember Jesus Christ of the seed of David? That word remember there in the context really means to have a mind that is steadfastly fixed upon Christ. That's the meaning of that word remember. That's how it was with the hymn writer when they spake of the Lord and said, my heart is fixed, eternal God, fixed on thee. This is how it was with Moses as he led the children of Israel to the promised land. The Bible says of Moses in Hebrews 11 that he endured as seeing him who is invisible. His eye of faith was fixed upon the Lord day by day. Throughout his Christian life, his heart, his mind was focused upon the Lord and fixed upon the Lord. And child of God, can I say, this is how it must be with you and I also. We are to heed the words of this command when it says, remember that Jesus Christ of the seed of David was raised from the dead according to my gospel. In other words, our hearts, our minds need to be focused upon Christ day by day in our Christian life, in our work, in our home, in our family, whatever. We need to keep the Lord before us. Turn over to Hebrews chapter number 12 and you'll see that emphasized again. Hebrews chapter 12. Look at verse number 2 and verse number 3. Look at what it says. It says, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. We are to consider Christ. We are to be ever looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. That's how you and I heed the command in our text this morning. Believer in Christ, can I say to you today, whenever your service for God is difficult, whenever your service for God is unpopular, keep your eyes upon Christ. Believer, whenever God's truth is being violated and being tramped in the streets, believer, keep your eyes upon Christ, his person, his word, his work. Christian, whenever things happen in your life, things that you cannot understand, you cannot fathom. Christian, keep your eyes upon the Lord who came to this earth, who died, who rose again, whose word is true.
Dear child of God, whenever disappointments come into your life, and in the midst of those disappointments, you have to ask the question, where is God in all of this? Believer, keep your eyes fixed upon the Lord. Heed the words of our text this morning, which says, remember that Jesus Christ of the seed of David was raised from the dead, according to my gospel. Believers, by keeping your eye upon Christ, enduring, looking to Christ, in all the battles and trials of life and all the service for God, keep your eye upon Christ who has died, who has come to this earth, who has kept the word of God, who is risen again. It is true, looking unto Christ, not to man or to yourself, no. Looking unto Christ, that then as a believer, you will be steadfast. You'll be unmovable. You will be always abounding in the work of the Lord in your Christian life. And dear unsaved friend, in our meeting this morning, let me say this, that if you too are to know victory in your life over sin, over hell, if your life is to be right with God, if your sins are to be pardoned, if you are to be sure of heaven, then now in time as a repentant sinner, you must turn by faith to Christ and confess your sins to Him and trust in Him. Trust in His sacrifice. Trust in His blood alone for your salvation. He says, look unto me and be ye saved. You begin the Christian life by looking in faith unto the Lord for salvation. And you continue the Christian life until Christ comes or calls you home to glory by looking unto Christ. That was the aim of this message of Paul to Timothy. I believe that's the aim of this message to your heart and my heart today as God's people on this Easter Sunday morning. In the trials of life, in the battles of life, and our service for God, to remember that Jesus Christ, who of the seed of David, died for us, who rose again, according to the gospel, is coming back for us to take us home to be with Himself. We'll close our meeting this morning by singing together the hymn number 585. 585 on the page 402 of your hymn book. 585, Rejoice, Believer in the Lord, who makes your cause His own. The hope that's built upon His word can ne'er be overthrown. A wonderful hymn, great words of truth and encouragement for the believer. 585, we'll stand as we sing, and singing it out with all of our hearts.
Amen.
Our Father and our God, we thank Thee for Thy presence. We thank Thee for Thy precious word. Write it upon our hearts, upon our minds. Help us even in the week that lies before us as the people of God, whatever comes our path in life, to remember Jesus Christ, the victory that He's won for us on the cross, that He is alive forevermore, interceding for us at the right hand of God, praying for the people of God and praying for the saints. Oh, for any in the meeting today, and Lord, they're not saved. Lord, speak to them. They've no refuge, no hope for time, no hope for eternity. Speak to them, we pray. May they come and taste and see that the Lord is good. Take us now to our homes in safety. Give us traveling mercies. Return us again in Thy will this evening hour. For we do pray and do ask all these things for Jesus' sake and glory. Amen and amen.